No support, no bank loans. It's like, wow, God, aren't you just kind of stretching this a little bit, God? But you know what? That really should be the norm, shouldn't it? You know, we just don't live where we could be living. We don't live where God would have us. And it's kind of like, you know, we ought to just make a commitment that, God, I'm going to step out of where I've been, and I'm going to start, you know, choosing, but also in pursuit of beginning to believe God beyond what you normally do. You know, let me challenge you to do that, because it's amazing where God, I mean, God, the Bible says he looks for a man whose heart is perfect towards him. And it just means somebody who will believe him, you know. And sometimes we don't believe God for things until we get backed up in the corner. But that might be a good place to get sometimes, you know, because then we really start pressing into, you know, sometimes we can get a little lazy. You know what I'm talking about? And we just kind of ho-hum it, you know, and then all of a sudden this need comes up and we realize, oh my goodness, you know, I better do what I need to do, you know? So praise God. The last time that we did Abundant Living, which was probably about 3 weeks ago on Saturday, I ended with starting a teaching on authority, but it was our last Saturday, so I just decided I'm going to do it anyway, and we'll just keep doing it until I get out what I feel the Lord has us to do. So I'm going to talk about authority again tonight, and I think probably, too, you know, we didn't announce that, and I don't know if even that many people know we went and switched our classes. If you read bulletins like I do, you wouldn't know a thing. Because I never, well, I do, well, no, I don't. I don't think I, not too often anyway. So anyway, but I'm going to go through some scriptures on authority. And, you know, I have found in my life, and in fact, I'm going to come to Brian's class just because I want to be challenged. And I want to be challenged in this area of finances. And he challenges me in that, because I remember when he first started coming, and I remember where they were and what the battle that they were going through and what they were going through financially, and how he took the word of God and he stepped into his place of authority in his home, and how he literally began to shift and turn things in their finances. And, you know, what we do is we do not realize the depth of this authority that God has given to us. And, you know, a lot of times I pray, I ask God to just give me revelation and understanding on this authority. You know, the whole issue from the very beginning, starting in heaven, was over who was going to rule, wasn't it? Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High God. And a throne is a place of rulership. He wanted to rule. So if you look at what really this whole earth is all about, it's a position of authority, a position of rulership. And so when God made man, and, you know, like I said, some of you maybe have heard this, but I'm going to go over it again just because we have so many new ones. But when God made man, the number one thing he said was, I'm going to put man here and I'm going to give man dominion and authority, which is the right to rule. And God's decision to rule earth through man was so final and so eternal that the devil had to go through a man to get that authority. And God's decision to rule the earth through man was so final and so eternal that God had to become a man to get it back. And when he got it back, he put it back into the hands of the body of Christ, back into his man, didn't he? And back into mankind. So God's decision to rule through us, and we are the rulers on this earth, the body of Christ. But you wouldn't know that overall by the way we live. Okay, so what I'm going to do tonight is I really want, over this teaching, to challenge you to start stepping into that place of who you are. You're a king. You're a priest on this earth. And we need to start positioning ourselves. See, the Bible says, well, let me read this to you. But God is waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. Who's he waiting on? Us? Because we are the ones to enforce the victory of Calvary. But so I'm going to read some scriptures, but let's go first of all to Genesis 1:26. Woohoo. And just read what he said about authority. He said, God said, I'm reading, everything I read is usually out of the Amplified. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind, that's man and woman, in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority. Complete authority. And to be made in the image of God means an exact replica. If you look that up, that's what it means. So we've been made an exact replica of God. So let them have complete, that means total authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts, and over all of the earth. And then down in verse 28, it says, God blessed them. He said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. In other words, bring it under your authority. Subdue all of it with its, all of its vast resources. Okay, so the resources on this earth belong to us too. You know, they do. But again, you wouldn't know that by the way we live. That ought to make us realize that I think we're falling short just a little bit. You know? And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. And then in Psalm 110, verse 2, it says, the Lord will send forth from Zion, that's the church, the scepter, and the scepter is a symbol of authority. He will send forth from Zion, from the church, the symbol of his authority, of his strength. And then he commands us, and he says, rule then in the midst of your enemies. So we are commanded then to rule in the midst of our enemies. So just for starters, take a look at your house and what's going on in your home, because you have authority over that. And when you begin to start taking authority over that, and you may have to position yourself and stand, because you know the Bible says having done all to stand, continue to stand. But when he's talking about doing this, when we just look at our what we have going on in our houses, why aren't we taking authority? You know, your weapon, your battles are not against flesh and blood, not against your children, your husband, your wife, but against principalities and powers and ruler spirits. So a lot of times, a lot of things going on in our homes are being influenced by spiritual forces that have been defeated at the cross, and the authority that the enemy had that he wrongly usurped from mankind, Jesus gave it back to us. So the legal authority is back in the church, and God waits. Do you know anyone who is an enemy of my husband is an enemy of mine? You know, you can criticize other people maybe sometimes, but don't talk about him to me because I love him and he's mine, okay? So, I mean, seriously, you know, and so when we look into our home, why do we tolerate things that are going on in our house when we don't have to? Why do we allow the enemy to come in and basically rape us? And that's what he does. You see, we need to get to the place where we say, that's enough, and I'm going to take it back. And you may have to enforce it. You know what? And I truly believe, you know, the enemy's going to challenge you on that. But when he finds out you mean business, see, that's the key. Do you really mean business when it comes to this authority? Or are you just playing with it? Are you just going to try it once or twice because you heard a good teaching on it? Are you going to be so convinced, not convicted, but convinced that this word, when we take the word of authority, which is the word of God, and we begin to enforce it, hell has to bow its knee to that. Doesn't have an option. But God is waiting for the church to make his enemies his footstool. So, like I said earlier, if anybody that's an enemy of Lou Tucker's is an enemy of Bev Tucker. Any enemy of ours is an enemy of God. You see? So that's what he's talking about. And that can be sickness, that can be disease, that can be alcohol, that can be drugs, that can be divorce and separation. That can be whatever is destroying in your life. That's an enemy of God's, and God is waiting on us to make that his footstool because we are his body. You see, so he's given us authority. Now, Jesus didn't give us some cheap authority that worked half the time and half the time it doesn't. It will work all the time if we will enforce it. And you might, like I say, you might have to take, you know, the Bible also says in Jeremiah 23 that my word is like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance. And you might have some stubborn resistances operating against you. But you take that word of authority and you begin to hit it and it will shatter. You know, and I've never known anyone who really did that it didn't work for them. It does. You know, when our son's bone was dead, and that, you know, when we went after that, it had been dead for 2.5 years, so it was impossible medically. And it was as dead as it could get dead, because it was a number 4, and that's the worst. It wasn't like a little bit dead. It was all the way dead for 2.5 years. But when we got onto the word and we began to take authority over that, and we received no medical help with this too, by the way, because we doctored for 2.5 years. They were not helping us at all. So we, and I'm not telling you not to go to doctors, but we said, this is it. We are going to go 100% God. But when we put that to the test and we took that word and we refused to step back from what the word of God said, we got our miracle. And we have x-rays to prove that the bone came back to life, which even the orthopedic surgeon who looked at it declared it was a miracle. Because that doesn't happen. But see, that's the authority. And what that is that when you refuse to bow your knee, you're not the one that's supposed to be bowing the knee. He is. And you're the one that's to make him. You have the authority. God has given us all the tools that we need. And we're going to be talking about some of these tools through the next few weeks. But we have been given all the equipment. In fact, I like the way the Message Bible says it when God commissions them to go out. And he goes, you are the equipment. Isn't that cool? We are the equipment. We're the answer to a world that's bound in sin, that's crippled, that's maimed, that's halted and lame. We're the answer. We're the equipment. I just think that is so cool. Okay, Luke 10:19 says, I'm going to read it to you again out of the Amplified. Behold, I have given you authority, and authority means the right to rule. That's what authority means, the right to rule. I have given you the right to rule and power. I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. Those are symbols of demonic forces, and I've given you physical, mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. So God here is not disputing the fact that the devil has power. He has power. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. He did not lose his power at the cross. What we're talking about is authority. And the authority is the right to rule over the power of the enemy. He's given us that power. And then Colossians 2:14-15. And the reason I wanted to read 14 with this is because anytime the devil wants to point out your sin to you, just take him to this verse. Take him to this verse. This is what Jesus did to any of our issues. Anytime we mess up, anytime we sin, anytime we fall, this is what Jesus has done with it. Having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, Jesus took every single one of these and he cleared them out of the way completely by nailing them to the cross. That simply means, so if the devil points out things you've done, they've been nailed to the cross. Excuse me? Mm-hmm. He cannot legally do that. You stand, because of the work of Christ, clean before God. That's it. If I look to me and how good I act and how well I can do this Christian walk, I do not have faith in Jesus. I have faith in myself. By your works, it doesn't work, does it? We're saved by grace through faith, not of yourself, you know, but by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. So Jesus is saying to us simply, don't look at yourself and think, well, if you can live this life so good and so perfect that you're going to make it. We've made it because he made it for us. Okay, so always remember that. When you're standing in authority, if the devil wants to point out all of your mishaps, all your mistakes that you've made, you know, all the things that have happened in your past. Pastor Kevin's been talking about that, and that has been so good. Let it go, because it's not held against you. So therefore, you can stand as though Jesus Christ himself were standing in the face of the enemy, making him bow his knee. Verse 15 says, God disarmed principalities and powers that were raged against us, and he made a bold display and a public example of them and triumphed over them in the cross. And Hebrews 2:14, let's go to that one. I've only got two more that I want to read to you on these. Hebrews 2:14 says, since therefore his children share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature, he himself, Jesus Christ, in a similar manner, partook of the same nature, that by going through death, he might bring to naught and make of no effect he who had the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus is saying here that through his death, by him taking on our nature, by him going through death, he brought the devil to a zero. This is what he is, a zero. This is who is manipulating and endeavoring to control and endeavoring to harass and set up schemes and counsels against you, a zero. So you realize we don't have to allow that, do we? Then in Matthew 28, verse 18, after Jesus went to the cross, it says, Jesus approached and breaking silence, he said to them, all authority, all right to rule in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. So what he did is he went and took authority. He went and he defeated the devil, took back the authority, and he put it back in the body of Christ. So that's where it sits today, is in us. And when we begin to realize that, and we began to take that challenge and put that to the test, sickness has to bow its knee. Drugs and alcohol, rebellious children, all of it. It has to bow its knee. Amen? We have a woman sitting here and a husband and father that they took authority over heroin. And their daughter is free of heroin today. Because they made war against that. Isn't that awesome? You see, and that was an addiction that, oh my goodness, if you know anything about heroin, that is one of the worst drugs you can be on, because you die on that one. So they stepped into that position. They took that scepter in their hand, and they went against that, and they were diligent in going against it, and it's defeated today. Hallelujah. Yeah, boy, that deserves a good hand clap, I think. Hallelujah. So there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same old devil. The same things, and I'm going to read you some things out of the Old Testament on some of the things that God commissioned the Israelites to do. And just in the same way that they had to go in and possess their land, we have to do the same exact thing. Okay, I'm going to read you a couple things. I think I might have read this last time, but I don't know. So it's been so long. I forget. I should have listened to the CD, but I did it, because I don't have it. All right. I should get my CDs sometimes and listen to them, but I don't. Anyway, okay, man is under Jesus, but over angels in authority. So in other words, what he's talking about here is that God has given us, and I did talk about this a little bit last time, but I'm going to get into that more, how God has put authority, right to rule on the earth, in the hands of man. And we exercise that authority through the word of God coming out of our mouth. And when we take that word angels hearken to the word, and they are the strength. We're the authority, they're the strength, and they go out to enforce the authority that's coming out of our mouth. And that is why God, you know, if we considered where we're at in the world system, and we consider just the fact that the church doesn't do much better than the world system, and yet we have all this authority, must be the church is not picking, if the building's not going to fall in. It sounds like this all of the time. It's just this building. Anyway, let me get back to what I was going to say. If we're like that, must be we are not taking our authority. Because should the church not be different than the world system? You know, if you look back at Israel, when God brought her out of Egypt, which was a type of the world, God made a specific difference between Israel and Egypt. And the things that were going on in the world were not going on in Israel, were they? You see, so the things that go on in this world system shouldn't be going on in the church. Okay, but he's waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to get fed up. And you know, sometimes we don't get fed up enough until we face death or we face some horrible thing in our life. But that's okay. I don't think it's too late. Just get up and start doing it. Just start. From the second you start backing him up, whether you realize it or not. So all authority in heaven and earth, Jesus said, has been given to me from God the Father. He, Jesus Christ, is the commander-in-chief of the army over all the angels in heaven and members of the church on the earth. His military rank is Lord of hosts. To the angels, Jesus Christ is the captain of the host, and to the church, he is the head of the body. The name of the Lord of hosts, means the Lord of the army, and it is used, 244 times, by far the most frequently used name for the Lord recorded in the Old Testament. Now, that's interesting. So what does that show us? That God is a warring God, isn't he? He makes war against his enemies, and he expects his family to do the same. He is the Lord of hosts. As the head of the army, he distributes the power necessary to establish his kingdom on the earth. And this is what it's about. God wants his kingdom established on this earth. And it's up to the church. He waits on the church. Who does God work through? The church. God's decision to rule earth through mankind was so final and so eternal. So God, and he hasn't changed his mind. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. So God still wants to rule the earth through the church. So we need to learn how to hear his voice. We need to be flowing with the Holy Ghost, because I'm not telling you to get out there and do your own thing. I say, hear what the Holy Spirit says, and he won't speak against his word. That's why we know that healing is not against the word. So because God says so. I mean, if he took it to the cross, it's his will. You see, so that right there tells us we have authority over sickness and disease, and we can force that to back down. But are you going to enforce that? He's waiting for his enemy. He said, rule in the midst of your enemies. No matter how weak you feel, no matter how beat up you feel, no matter how condemned or guilty or whatever, throw that baggage off and start moving forward. You know, I used to always quote like Joyce Meyer when she would say, if you're afraid, then do it afraid. But do it. You know, just because you're shaking in your boots don't mean the word of God is not going to work. You can doubt in your head and not in your heart at the same time. So if I'm being battered from the enemy on the outside, but on my heart, I know the word works and I'm going to take it and use it, and I do it, it'll work for me. You see, but right up here is where the devil wants you to halt and stop so that you don't operate on what's in here and enforce that. So that's why, even though whether you feel strong or you don't feel strong, he's your strength. You see, you always have to lean over onto Jesus. You always have to rely on Jesus. And I'll tell you what, when you're in the thick of the battle, you probably don't feel him too much. But he's still there. He said he'd never leave you, he'd never forsake you, and he said that he is still your strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, when my son's bone was dead, I was so afraid of that disease. I was tormented day and night. That was my baby. And I was so scared because I didn't think there was any way I would ever. You know, we had prayed for him. We had had people pray for him, and the bone was still dead. So it's like, okay, God, what are we doing? That's not right. And I was afraid of that. So I put that scripture up on my refrigerator just because it helped me to stay focused that, God, you are going to help us. You are going to help us. The Lord is the strength of my life. Did I feel strong? Not at all. I mean, we were baby Christians. Did I feel strong? No. But was God our strength? Yes. And will he take you through? Yes, he will. He is waiting on you. Okay? You might think you're waiting on him. He's not. You're not. He's waiting on you. Enforce that victory. Enforce your authority. Okay, so his desire is to establish his kingdom on the earth. And he does this by the Holy Spirit working through people and people, Christians, giving the word of command, which is the word of God, for the angels then to carry out the orders in the Lord's army. The descending order of rank for enforcing the kingdom of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man is the authority in the earthly realm. Okay, not, we're the authority, the believer. And see, that was God's decision to put us in that position, not ours. So just accept it. You're just going to have to accept it. Man is the authority in the earthly realm. Angels excel in strength. This order of authority shows the chain of command involved for the word to be issued and then carried out. So when we give that word of authority, you know, I tell the story of Dutch Sheets was sharing. I was going to look it up today, but I didn't get time. But he talks about God wanted him to go do something. I don't even remember what it was. And so he was kind of halting around and thinking, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not eloquent enough. I'm not this and I'm not that. And the Lord said to him, he said, it's not about your ability. He said, I just want your mouth. I just want your words. You see, so all he had to do was speak what God was telling him to speak, because that's all God needs. God needs words. You see, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are spirit and they're life. So when we take the word of God and speak it out, we give God something to work with. That's why when we took authority over the death in our son's bone finally, cast that out, and began to take the word of God, which said by his stripes he was healed, we began to take that sword and we began to literally use the sword of the spirit against the enemy, what was totally not able to happen in the natural realm came about. What's impossible with man is not impossible with God. Amen? So if you're terminal, terminal's a word of death, not a word of life. Do you have authority over that? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, I tell you what, that would challenge me. Anybody in here ready to die? I sure wouldn't be ready to die. So I'd start taking up, and I feel that's a word for somebody. I'd take up what God's given me, and I would go with it. Okay. Angels hearken to the voice of God's word, and that's out of Psalms 103, verse 20. It says that angels will hearken unto the voice of God's word. You can look it up. But they hearken to the voice of God, and yet the word of the Lord needs to be spoken by men, God's authorities on this earth. The Holy Spirit is the liaison from heaven. He gives the word of the Lord to the people to speak, which is why we need to be attentive to the Holy Spirit, which is why we need to be baptized, filled with the evidence of speaking in other tongues in the Holy Ghost. It's another weapon we have. Why would we not want the baptism of the Holy Spirit when it's as powerful as it is? You see, one of the biggest clues that this should give you that the Holy Spirit with the speaking in tongues is such a powerful tool of God is the way the enemy tries to fight it. You know? Tries to keep you from getting it because he knows also how powerful it is. Okay, when men and women speak the word of God, by doing this, the Lord's good pleasure is at work within them and in them, and the angels carry out the Lord's words. Man, the one that's placed in dominion, speaks the will of God on the earth. And that's what we're to be doing, is speaking God's will. Now watch yourself, because if you're half the time speaking negative and half the time speaking the good, you're just like a ship going back and forth and back and forth. So start disciplining yourself to say the word. Ask God to help you discipline yourself. I mean, that's even something you can use the strength of the Lord for. Write the word down. The Bible says keep it before your eyes. Don't let your eyes depart from it. Why does God tell us to not let our eyes depart from the word? Because he knows that the enemy is going to want to get you off and look at your problem rather than look at your answer, which is the word of God. But if you will stay focused, that is what will hold you during the hard time. That's why I put the Lord is the strength of my life. And I did not, back then, I was so young in the Lord, I didn't know anything about speaking the word and believing the word. But I knew that I could draw strength from the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Because I was so afraid of that. So I wrote that down to help my eyes stay focused on that. And I believed in my heart that God was going to help us get to the place where we would receive the healing. And he did. He did. We just needed to learn some things. We needed to get some understanding of our equipment, of what God had given us, you know, with our weapons of warfare that are mighty. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of everything that's endeavored to exalt itself above the knowledge of God in your life. Okay, if man does not claim his rightful authority and speak the rule of heaven reaching the earth, if mankind does not claim his rightful authority and speak, the rule of heaven then reaching the earth is cut off. The mayhem that we see on the earth is not happening because God is allowing it. It is going on because man is not responding to him through the Holy Spirit. The battle cry to release the power of the angels is not being given because man either has not been educated or he has been miseducated by Satan. Man is the ruling authority or the ruling force on the earth. Authority has been given to him. The earth belongs to him during man's day or during this time that we are on this earth, ruling in the earth. So again, God is waiting for us to finally stand up and start taking this authority. The key of authority, and I'm just going to go off into this because I have it next. So I got so much stuff to share, but I want to share some of this stuff with you. Okay, one of our keys or one of the tools that God has given us is the tool of binding and loosing. So the key of authority, binding and loosing, will control or, in other words, render inoperative against you the gates of hell. Much has been written about binding and loosing throughout all time. Yet the references, and Pastor Kevin quoted the Dead Sea Scrolls, so I'm going to quote some stuff from the Dead Sea Scrolls, explains this concept much better than a lot of modern scholarship. The keys to building the kingdom were given to the church, and this concept deals with controlling the gates of hell. These keys, now in other words, when you bind and loose, you're dealing literally with the gates of hell, which are arrayed against you. And I'm going to read you a little bit more and define what the gates of hell mean. But these keys are authority to bind evil spirits and to loose angels in spiritual warfare by revelation from the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the keys to build the kingdom of God on this earth to his church. And that's in Matthew 16:19. And he said, I will give unto you the keys. Keys denote authority. the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you will bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, it's interesting because this is probably one of my favorite subjects to teach on is authority. But remember I said kind of at the beginning, we just kind of get just booking along and we just go, and all of a sudden you find out, you look at yourself and you're really not even operating in what you know to operate in. And it's like for the last probably 5 months, God has really just been pulling me up and saying, get back on this. Start taking your authority. And so Lou and I have been doing this and taking some authority in some things. And we do a prayer of agreement, which is out there. You can get it. And it's a powerful prayer of agreement. And so we daily decree and declare what we have prayed in a prayer of agreement. He said, if two or more of you shall agree together as touching anything that they shall ask of my Father, it shall be done of my Father, which is in heaven. Not maybe, or we'll think about it up here for a while. It shall be done. And Jesus said, whatsoever, up until now you have asked nothing in my name, but whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. So if I'm asking according to the word of God, he will do it. Whatsoever. Now, does that challenge you to start saying, okay, if she can do it, I can do it. It would challenge me. I listen to preachers up here and I think, man, I'm taking this stuff home. You know, when Pastor Kevin gave that word to us and he said, he's not giving us the gift of faith, but it was the Holy Ghost talking to us. And he said, I am giving you and releasing to you the gift of faith. I said, man, I'm taking that. I'm receiving that. So I went home with the gift of faith that day. I walked out of this place with it because I laid hold of it. And I'll tell you what, sometimes I'll sit and I think, wow, man, I'm doing good. I'm just believing God for this. And then I thought back and I thought, that's that gift of faith in operation, you know? But lay hold of what God has for you. That's your choice. Choose to take the word of God and make it yours because it belongs to all of us. So that's my prayer on prayer of agreement. And it's out there. And I would get that if I were you. And if you have a spouse to agree with you, great. And if you don't, get a good friend that you know will stand with you. But it has a place where you write down what you're believing God for, and then you sign it. You date it and everything. And like I say, we literally, then we get it out every day, and we say, okay, God, according to this prayer of agreement, it's done. And we say what's done. And we were going through it the other day, and we thought, oh, we probably don't really need to pray this anymore because it's all right. We've got the manifestation of it. Isn't that cool? You see, one time, this is so funny, but this is years ago, but we've never done a prayer that we've not seen happen with that. But one time he got a letter. He'd been working for Chrysler for a year, and he got a letter from Chrysler, and they told him they were going to lay him off. And they said he would be laid off in March or April. So I remember this really well. So we were doing the prayer of agreement. So I took a pen, and I X'd out the letter, and I said, and we prayed and agreed. So I said, according to the prayer and agreement of Lewis and Bev Tucker, this letter is made null and void. And he retired from Chrysler. You see? But it works. See, the word will work for you if you take it home with you. See, take this home with you and say, man, if she can do it. And man, we did it when we didn't know a whole lot, but we were in such a mess. We thought, man, we better do something. So we thought, okay, we'll do it, God. And it worked because the word works. It's not about us. It's about us only doing what this book says. See, and then it'll begin to manifest in your life. So, okay, so let me finish this. So we're talking about binding and loosing. The word key is closely related to the word authority in as much as when you have the keys, such as to any facility, you have authority to use that place at any time you wish. The word key, or your car, that's, you know, I'd say probably better the car. The word key is defined as authority in many Bible dictionaries, But even though the key or authority to bind and loose in Matthew 16:19, its deeper truth is found in the context of the previous verse concerning the gates of hell. And if you look back through those verses, you'll see how Jesus said to Peter that the gates of hell, that Satan had desired to sift him, but he had prayed for him, and the gates of hell would not prevail. And the gates of hell, this is what the gates of hell mean. This is what he said to Peter. It means the counsels, the schemes, and the plans of hell against you. So he was saying, Peter, the schemes and the counsels and the plans of hell will not prevail against you because I've prayed for you. Now, you all know that the enemy does come against us with schemes and counsels and plans. But he said, now, this other one, this is out there too. So I'd get this one. I'd take this one home too. This came from a prayer from, sometimes I take prayers and I rewrite them according to teachings. But this one actually came out of Jack Hayford. So I don't know if I copied him or if I rewrote it. It's good. But anyway, Matthew 16:18-19 says, upon this rock, now this is authority teaching, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the plans, the schemes, and the counsels of hell will not prevail against you. I will give you the keys of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, declare to be improper, is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose is loosed in heaven. Now, then he gave the Greek meaning of this, and he said, whatever you may at any time encounter of hell's counsels, which I am declaring that my church shall prevail against, you will then, believer, be faced with a decision as to whether you will or you won't bind it. What transpires will be conditional upon your response. So what's happening is conditional upon your response. Now, I'm not telling you that things don't come against us, but when those things come against us, what happens is conditional upon our response, because we are the ones who have been given authority to use against these schemes that are coming against us. So he says, what transpires will be conditional upon your response if you do personally and consciously involve yourself in the act of binding the issue on earth. You will discover at that future moment when you do that, it has already been bound in heaven. You lay claim of it. Whatever you determine to lay claim of on earth, you can have. And then he goes on to say, demand God's will be done, not Satan's. Now, when you're demanding God's will be done, what that simply means is we're not demanding of God, because God's already given it. It's already ours. I don't have to demand anything of God. You know, I don't have to demand Lou's paycheck because it's already mine. It's in the bank and I just go use it. You see what I'm saying? But that's the truth, isn't it? You see? But I'll tell you what, if anybody tried to take it away from me, man, I could take authority. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, I don't even let Lou have it. I'm kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with that. I'm just being smart. Anyway, back to this though, okay? You demand God's will, not Satan's. In other words, God wants you. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not the stinking devil's will, God's will, done on earth as it is in heaven. So you demand it. You make the decision when the schemes of hell come against you as to involve yourself in binding up the works of darkness, and then you will discover that it is bound in heaven. It's up to us. In other words, what that is saying, that when you take this word and you begin to do it and you speak it forth, you've released the angels to go and bind these principalities and powers, these schemes, these assignments that are against you. You have released them to go and do it. They've just been waiting. Do you know angels literally wait for us to do God's word? Because it says they hearken to the voice of God's word. Now, let me ask you this. Who is speaking the word of God on this earth today? Yeah. If it's not the church, who is it? That's why we've got to be speaking it. Do you hear this thunderous voice coming from heaven declaring his word? No, you don't. It's to be coming out of our mouth. And angels hearken to the voice of God's word. So they are waiting on the church. It talks about in Hebrews, I think it is 1:14, that the angels are ministering servants sent to the heirs of salvation, sent to the men and women of God, those who have inherited salvation. They're ministering spirits that sent to serve. Why? Because they are waiting for the church to release the God-given authority so they can go out and operate and bring about what God wants done on this earth. See the importance of that? That is good stuff. Hallelujah. See, and so if you're tired of being where you're at in life, start doing something about it. Start stepping out in that authority and say, no, devil, get your hands off of my house, of my children, of my finances. Get out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I bind the schemes, the counsels, and the plans of hell that are assigned against us in the name of Jesus. And sometimes, and I'll just say to the angels, okay, angels, go do it. You've been waiting on me. I'm finally doing it. You see, God waits for the church. He has put the scepter and he says, rule then in the midst of your enemies. How do you rule? How does a king rule? He gives out words. He gives out orders. And then they go, the people go and enforce them, don't they? Angels wait for the kings. Are you not a king? He is the King of Kings. He's made you that. They wait that we will speak the word so they see. And think about how much you're going around in the mully grubs, you know, whining, carrying on, moping and doping and groping and not saying what God wants you to say. We do that. I've been doing really good lately too. I'll tell you what, God really got on my case and we've been doing good, haven't we, Lou? We just decided probably about in December, and it's really interesting because this is when December was when God really started dealing with us about really going after some things. And so, man, we got out the word. We know how to do it. So we got that out and we started hammering it. And actually that is about the same time other than Pastor Kevin, when he said last week, that's about in December was when he gave that word. That was a word of breakthrough for you. And if you didn't take that prophecy home, I'd get it again, and I'd start declaring it is our breakthrough time. It's our appointed time for breakthrough. Why? Because God said that. It's a prophetic word. What do you think this is? It's a prophetic word from God. That's what it is. Okay, so back to binding and loosing. You make the decision when the schemes of hell come against you as to involve yourself in binding up the works of darkness, and then you will discover that it is bound in heaven. Ephesians 3:10, the purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God will be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly sphere. When you know the will of God, demand his will be done. Tell the enemy, this is what's going to happen, and this is what's not going to happen. It's going to be like we say. Amen. Mm-hmm. You want to know what we're saying? Cancer is being taken out. We're taking disease out. That's what the church is supposed to do. Jesus took it on the cross. Did he not? Do we not enforce that? The Bible says that he took all of our infirmities, all of our sicknesses, in all of our diseases, not half of them, not three-fourths, not 99.9. He took them all. They're here. If they come on us, they try to come on us illegally. Satan got authority from Adam illegally. Authority doesn't belong to him. That's why when we talk about doing deliverance, how we talk about breaking the legal rights and how easy it is. You just repent, renounce, you take back. You come out of agreement. You know, you don't got to roll on the floor and fly across the room. You have authority. You are in charge. And God is just waiting for us to take this home and put it into operation. And you know, if there's anything that I want you to get tonight, is you know what? I won't go home with you tonight. So you need to go home and do this yourself. You have the authority. And you know what? There's no one that's going to be better to enforce that authority in your house than you. And so when you take this home and you begin to operate in it, you become equipped and you become such a threat to the enemy. He knows who you are. You might think you're weak and you're mealy and you don't know anything. But every time the devil has to face you, it's like facing Jesus. Because that's whose image you're in. You're an exact replica. That's what it says. Let us make man in our image, an exact replica. That's who he sees, the devil. You know, so just, you know, take God's word for it. That's who you are. That's who you are. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to decide where I want to go tonight. I got a few minutes left here. So I'm going to go into a little bit of what, and taking authority, how the Israelites had to operate and how we need to operate in that same realm. In the fact of when God told them to go in and possess the land, he said, I've given the land to you. Let me read you this one scripture in there. He said, every place that your foot treads, I have given it to you. So in other words, he'd already given it to them. That's Joshua, I think, 1:3, I think, somewhere in there, first chapter. He said, everywhere that your foot treads, I've given you the land. Okay, so where does your foot tread? Well, my foot treads all over my house, all over my finances, all over my family. See, I don't give the devil an option when it comes to my house. Now, everything in my house don't look the way I want it to, but I know where it's at according to the Word of God. So I don't get deterred. I don't get off track, you see. That's why it's important to keep the Word before you, because I know that if I will enforce this victory, it has to line up. It's kind of like when our son's bone was dead, and this is talking about making your situation line up. You force it to line up with the Word of God. You make it bow its knee. You don't tolerate it. You say, no, this is the way it's going to be, and then you go after it, and you make it change. Can you make it change? Yeah, you can. We would go to the doctor every 6 weeks, and they would do new x-rays of this hip bone. I won't go into my long story with it, but it's a good story. Anyway, he was in this body cast for 2.5 years. I'm not going to get to this if I tell this, but oh well. You'll just get me next week again. But anyway, make it change. So we would go to the doctors, and every 6 weeks, I would look at an x-ray that had a dead bone on it. And I knew nothing about faith. Knew nothing about speaking the word. So I'd leave the doctor's office and I'd be disappointed. I'd be discouraged. I'd be sad because this was my child. He was 6 years old at the time. And I'd be driving home, and we lived about 90 miles from North Dakota. So if North Dakota, you had to drive a long ways to get to anything. But anyway, we lived about 90 miles from the orthopedic surgeon. So I had a long time to drive home to talk to God. And so I'd say, God, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I just must not be one of these faith people, whatever they were, which I didn't know, but I had gotten enough of, I got a little bit of Kenneth Hagin stuff. So that was, you know, I couldn't get Kenneth Hagin. I just couldn't get him. I believed it, but I couldn't get him until I got here and started getting free. We really got under the word. But anyway, so that was the way I felt. And I had all these x-rays that always told me the bone was dead, okay? Fact was, according to the x-rays, the bone was dead. So then we came here, moved here, and went to the doctor, another orthopedic surgeon, transferred all of his x-rays over, and they took new x-rays. And this doctor said to me, he said, well, we number these 1, 2, 3, and 4. He said, you have a number 4. You have the worst case there is. And we had taken him out of the body cast, and he was on crutches to come out here. And he said, we're going to have to decide what to do with him. Well, by the time that doctor got done with me that day, now I'm a mama who believes in healing, not getting it, but I still believed in it. You know, 2.5 years after the fact, I still believed in healing. I just didn't know how to get it. But I still, with everything on the inside of me, believed God wanted my child healed. That never changed on the inside of me. So when that doctor gave me this horrible report, and I felt like he took what little bit of faith I had, and that's how much faith I felt like I had. I felt like I had this much. I felt like he just annihilated it. And I left the house that day, or the doctor, that office, and I went home. I said to Lou, I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, but I am not going back to that doctor. I'm not going to do it. And I was just mad. And so we called this pastor and his wife that were in town here. They had gone to actually Kenneth Hagin's school. And we said, would you guys just come and talk with us? So they came over and they told us to start speaking the word of God to his leg. Remember I told you how authority is in this word. So I thought that was crazy. But because I didn't know, you know, to me, talking to a bone was like talking to the wall. But, you know, you can speak to your body. I didn't know that. You can. You can speak to situations. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. You see, we can do that. And I didn't know that. So anyway, they said, start talking to that hip bone. So I thought, okay, I'll do it, God, because I've tried everything else. Nothing else has worked. So this we'll do this one. So we went to their church and they were teaching, their son was teaching on whosoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what God says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says, okay? Now, I'm telling you this because I want you to take this home and know that whatever your circumstance is, I challenge you to change it with the authority that God has given you. So God spoke to me and he said, death is your mountain. Go home and cast it out. So I went home and we went home from church and I said to Lou, this is what God told me. Death is our mountain. We're supposed to cast it out of him. So we cast death out of his leg. This leg was shorter and it was really tiny because it had quit growing. And God grew it out in front of our eyes. And from that point on, we took the word of God and we began to speak the word of God. Every day we'd say, hip bone, by Jesus' stripes you're healed. And hip bone, Romans 8:11, you are quickened and made alive by the Spirit of God that dwells within you. And Matthew 8:17, Jesus bore all of our infirmities and all of our sicknesses. Therefore, devil, we're not bearing this anymore because Jesus took it on the cross. See, it was on us illegally because Jesus took it on the cross. And then we'd do Psalm 138:8, and we would say, the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. So we would say, Father, we thank you that you perfect his hip bone because that concerns him. And so from that point on, we just let him go. We did no more crutches, no more body casts. We didn't go back to the doctor. I was convinced they couldn't help us anyway. They'd had 2.5 years of my time and did nothing with it except discourage my faith. So I said, this is it. We're going with God. So at that point, we did nothing. And no more doctors and just the word. We did something. We did the word of God. And so I had a vision, and I'm not a vision kind of person normally, but I shouldn't say that, should I? I am a vision person. I get visions. It's how fast the Lord corrects me. But anyway, so I saw this huge boulder-sized rock, and I saw myself standing beside this rock with a hammer and a chisel, just hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. And I did not know, but Jeremiah 23 says, is my word not like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance? What does that tell you? That if you will take God's word, no matter what stubborn resistance you're dealing with, and hit it daily, and it might be stubborn, but the Bible says it'll shatter. Amen. A stubborn resistance, it'll shatter if you take the word. So we did that and never went back to the doctor, but we let him go do whatever he wanted to do. And he was a BMX bike racer. He played basketball, did track. He did soccer, whatever. And we just didn't go back to the doctor for 5 years. We ended up having to go back in 5 years. But this is what I want you to get. The fact was that I had x-rays that said the bone was dead. But I had the truth. And the truth said, by his stripes, he is healed. And when I took the truth, the fact had to bow its knee and line up with the truth of God's word. Now, this is a medical impossibility. I want you to know this. Doctors said it was medically impossible for that bone to come back to life. But because somebody brought us the word of authority and we took it, we left that house that day with that word. Take this word today and go home with it. Don't leave it here. It won't do you any good unless you bring it into your life. So, in other words, the word of God took those x-rays, and those x-rays conformed to this word. We went 5 years after the fact. He was playing soccer at actually Berean Baptist. Our school was playing theirs. And he called me and he said, "Mom, my leg hurts, and it feels like it did when it was in the body cast." And I got scared. I did. And I thought, "But we're not going to receive this back, devil." So I called Dr. Jarrett over at Rockford Memorial, and I told him, I said, "My son had," it's called two things, Percy's disease or a vascular neurosis. I said, "He had that," because I wasn't going to claim it again. I was smart enough at least by then to not claim it. And I said, "But he injured that leg. Can I bring him in?" And they let us bring him in immediately. So they called in the old x-rays. And when we got there, they took new x-rays. And he put up the old x-rays. And he said, "Your son definitely had a full-fledged Percy's disease." Remember I told you we had number four. And he put up the new x-rays. And he said, "But as you can see, he has a perfect healing. God literally brought the bone back to life." Now, what I want you to get out of this is this. Fact was, the bone was dead. Truth was, by his stripes, we are healed. Now, this takes any situation that you want to deal with. And if I wasn't on tape, I'd probably tell you another one, but I don't want this on tape. So maybe next time if I don't forget, the one we just got answered. So anyway, part of it. So anyway, we had a situation and we prayed a prayer of agreement. We decreed and we declared and it turned around and we were getting ready to get out our prayer of agreement. I said, "Well, Lou, we don't need to do this one anymore. It is done." Amen. But see, we took a situation and again changed it and made it come in alignment with the word of God. Can you change your situation? You can. But are you going to do what you need to do it? Are you going to take this word home tonight and put it into action? The Bible says that if you only hear it, but you don't do it, you deceive yourself. You're not going to get anything. You can say, "Oh, that was a good word. Oh, my, the presence of God was so strong in there." But if you didn't take it home, it didn't do you much. You know, it might have tickled your ears, and that's about all that you got out of it. So what I'm going to tell you to do tonight is you better go home, and you better get some word on your situation, and you better start taking authority and binding the gates of hell that have been assigned against you, and go get that prayer of agreement and write out what you are praying, because it says, "If two or more of you shall agree together as touching anything, it shall be done of my Father in heaven." For Jesus said, "Up until now, you have asked me nothing, but whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it." Now, will he do it? Yes, he will. If you choose to take this word home and work the word. Does the word work for you? Yes, it does. Does God wait for his enemies to be made a footstool? Any enemy that you have is an enemy of God. Just like anyone who wants to be an enemy to my husband, to my kids, they're my enemies. In fact, I have to straighten myself up a lot. You just don't mess with my family. Then I'm like, "Okay, God, I forgive them. I forgive them." I'm just kidding. But it's true. You know, you know what? God, they're enemies of the Lord, but you know what? He has already defeated them. And he's saying, "Child, go rule over them. Make them your footstool. Trample upon them." You know, he said, "You'll trample upon scorpions and what else? Lions and scorpions and serpents and scorpions and whatever." Yeah, you'll trample upon them. Thank you. We need to walk on. You know what? I'm going to share next week too how, because I'm going to quit because it is 8:30. how God commanded the Israelites to put their foot on the neck of the enemy. And so I'm going to send you home with that, and I'll give you the scriptures on it. But they were to put their foot on his neck. You're to put your foot on his neck. The Bible says in Genesis 3:15, he said, the woman shall destroy his headship. He'll come after your heel. In other words, he'll try to get you to stop. He'll come after you with this and that and this problem and that problem. But Jesus said that you'd crush his head. What does his head mean? His authority, his headship. That's what it's talking about. That's our assignment, that we, through Christ, that's the first prophetic word about Jesus, actually, that he talks about. There's one coming from the seed of woman, and he will crush your head. Your headship, your rule. And did Jesus do that? Yeah, he did. And he turned right around and put that authority in his church so that we could continue to operate just like he did. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen? Okay, I am going to quit. But come next week, and I've got some more good stuff. I'm going to give you the tools, you know, and like I said, if you will take these things home, they will change your life. We've watched them change our finances. We've watched them change our children. We've watched them heal our bodies. We've watched every time we have taken it and we've stood with the word. Now, we've been wishy-washy in there a few times too. And then it's like we just keep dealing with it and dealing with it and dealing with it and dealing with it. But when we get tired of it, we said, this is it. I've had it. I'm done. And we take the word of God and we, you know, it's kind of like being undaunted. And it's like, I'm not moving. I'm not moving, devil. But you are. And then you take your weapons, not fleshly weapons, the weapons of God, he has to bow his knee. Remember what I read at the beginning. He is a zero. Been brought to nothing. Disarmed, made a bold display of, and triumphed over in the cross. That is why, just like I told you earlier, when this family took authority over heroin and they begin to go after it, their daughter is free today. He said, we need to start going after some things. We need to start taking authority. Amen? All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for your word. And I declare tonight that this word, God, will not be stole by the enemy. But God, that I declare that the word of God that has come forth tonight will go into every heart. And it'll bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that every person in this room is good ground in the name of Jesus. Their hearts, their lives, God, are good ground. And they will bring forth a full harvest. And I thank you, Lord, that you have them here, God, for a purpose. And that is because you desire, God, that they rule in the midst of their enemies. So, Father, I pray tonight for a determination, God, within every single one of them, God, that, Lord, they will be determined to go after, God, what you provided on the cross, what you died for, what you gave us, God, that you destroyed the enemy, that we might be conquerors, that we might be victorious in our lives, Father. So, Father, tonight we choose to take this word home and enforce it in our lives, God, and we thank you for it, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.